So you guys been keeping up with the elections at all? Tracking them along? Sitting on the edge of your seat with bated breath? Fingers clenched around the edge of the seat, wondering where this whole thing is going, wondering what the future has in store? It's like they're off and running. It's like, you know, the bell has sounded and they're out of the gate and they're running for all they're worth and they're running back and forth from end to end all over the country, wearing out their shoes, making all kinds of promises, saying that if you will simply vote for me and put me in office, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. I promise I'll bring change. I promise I'll bring integrity. I promise I'll bring fresh vision, an amazing economy. You know, you will have more money than you can spend. You will have more health care than you know what to do with. Our soldiers will become bored sitting around because there'll be nothing for them to do because all wars will cease and, you know, paradise will break out on the earth. And all you have to do is vote for me.
Got my vote.
Praise God. I wonder what Jesus's campaign would be if he were in the race, as it were. I wonder what he would promise. It's not that hard to find out. We can go right to his word and find out. As a matter of fact, yes, sir. Yes, sir. In John chapter 6, the people literally wanted to make Jesus the king. Get Herod out of there. It's time for change. Here's the man. Let's put Jesus on the throne. Let's make him the king of Israel. And in this chapter, it opens up, John chapter 6, it opens up with this huge crowd that had seen Christ perform all kinds of amazing miracles of healing. I mean, the lame were walking around, people who had twisted legs and were all crippled and deformed, who could only crawl or sit or barely get up, were suddenly walking around the place. Men and women who had been blind, who could not see, possibly even from birth, suddenly had sight. People who were deaf could hear. People who had been sick, maybe chronically ill, of all manner of diseases were suddenly whole and healthy and full of energy and strength. People, demoniacs, people who had been out of their mind and tormented by demonic oppression were now the picture of peace and serenity and calm and tranquility. And the crowds are amazed, and so they're just in multitudes coming out to find Jesus, to see what's going to happen next. And if that wasn't enough to generate a little excitement, they follow him out to this mountain, and they get out there, and Jesus looks around and sees that they don't have any food to eat. It's around the time of the Passover, and there's this huge multitude out there, and he looks and he sees this little boy with 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And so Jesus takes the food, and what does he do first? Give thanks. He thanks God. Thank you, Lord. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Praise your mighty name. Glory to God. And then he breaks it and breaks the bread and gives it to his disciples, and he says, go ahead, feed the multitude. And when it was all over, over 5,000 people had been fed. 5,000 men plus women and children. And they said that they filled 12 baskets with the crumbs that were left over after everybody had eaten their fill. That's incredible. That is amazing. And when it was all said and done, at some point Jesus actually had to get out of there, because at that point the people were clamoring to seize him and make him the new king of Israel. The disciples took off in a boat. Jesus had to leave. He had to go off the mountain to be by himself. And I guess so. The people wanted a king. I guess based on this, they wanted a king who would give them free health care and free food for life. So I guess in 2,000 years, not a whole lot has changed, has it? They're still looking for the same king. Oh, man. And I bet this, any candidate who most convincingly promises that that will take place will be the one who has the best shot at the position. Give them what they want. So let me ask you guys 2 questions. Number one, what do you want from Jesus? It's a reasonable question. What do you want from Jesus? I mean, if you could just boil it down, you don't have to raise your hand or tell me or speak it out. Just kind of think about it in your mind for a second. If you can, like, boil it down to maybe one or two things. What do you want from Christ? I know we all want something. Even those of us who are content and grateful, I mean, there's something on our heart. Wow, you know, Lord, I can't wait for that to come down the pike, man. That'll be awesome. What do you want from Jesus? Now, number two, second question. What does Jesus want from you? And I know we could stand up here for days and just go from cover to cover in the Bible and say, well, he wants this, 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 and that, and the other thing. But I mean specifically, in your life today, Sunday, this morning, what has the Holy Spirit been speaking to your heart about? What is it that Christ would like for you to give to him, to surrender to him? We sang the song up here, I surrender all. It's easy to sing. What is it that Christ would have you to give to him? One or two things. As I said, we could name thousands of things, but one or two things that he has been dealing with you with about, what would they be? And as you're thinking about that, kind of put that on the shelf in your mind and hold that there. We're going to come back to that. But we're going to go through the entire sixth chapter of John today. We're going to see some serious scripture. We're going to be reading today. And we're going to see how the Bible sheds light on these two questions. What do I want from Jesus? And what does Jesus want from me? We're going to take a look at this, and we're going to see what it tells us about Jesus as he calls himself the bread of life. What does that mean, and how does that relate to these two questions? Let's turn in our Bibles to John 6:22. I'm going to give you a little bit of background. We're going to start in the middle of the chapter, but I'll just kind of bring you up to speed. Right before Jesus goes off by himself on the mountain so that they don't try to seize him and make him the king of Israel, his disciples take off in a boat and they're headed for Capernaum and they go across the sea and they get about 3 or 4 miles out, or 3 or 4 stadia, if you want to compare that. And right out in the middle of the ocean, or the Sea of Galilee, this huge storm arises. I mean, this gale-force wind starts blowing, ripping it up. Waves are starting to get choppy and are billowing all over the place. The boat is being tossed to and fro, sort of a Gilligan's Island situation. And they begin to get scared and frightened and wondering if they're going to perish. And suddenly they see who else but Jesus walking across the water towards them. And they, I think at first they thought it was a ghost or something. They didn't really understand what was going on. And then they see him draw closer and closer. And of course, Peter, the bold one of the bunch, stands up and says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out on the water. So Jesus says, come out. And Peter climbs over the rail of the boat, puts his feet out on the water, and begins walking on the water himself. And just as human nature would have it, as he sees himself walking on the water, he gets scared even more and starts sinking, and he cries out probably the shortest prayer in all the Bible. Help! You know what? That works. You don't need all kinds. Jesus said, you don't need to pile words on top of each other like the Gentiles. Just cut to the chase. Tell me what it is. Peter said, help! I perish. Jesus raised them up, and they both got it back in the boat. An amazing thing happened as soon as they got back in the boat. Two things happened. Actually, number one, the storm suddenly stopped. Ceased. The wind died. The clouds began to part. The waves became still, and immediately they were at the place where they were heading. It was almost as though they were teleported. He got into the boat, the storm stops, and suddenly they find themselves in another destination. Wow. 5 miracles over the laws of nature. What a Savior we serve. This is not just some guy who puts on a little show, little smoke and mirrors or something. This is the one who had sovereign power over the very laws of nature, the very laws of physics. 5 times in half of a chapter. First, he feeds 5,000 people with a handful of food and has 12 baskets left over. Next, he walks upon the water. Next, he bids his disciple to walk upon the water with him. Next, he gets back in the boat and the storm suddenly ceases, and then they're teleported, number 5, to the destination they were going. You can imagine how that rocked their world. We ought to, man, when we come to worship God, that's the God we're serving. We ought to put Super Bowl fans to shame in here on Sunday morning. Praise God.